Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Yellow Spectral Sun, and it is the 11th day of the White Dog Wave Spell. And it is also day 27 of the Rhythmic Moon, which is over on day 28. So that's tomorrow, and probably when you're listening. Thursday to January, I guess. It's already January 9. Gregorian calendar, but it's such evidence of how fast it's moving. It's already 8 or 9 days after we celebrated the Gregorian New Year. Just racing. Time is racing. We're racing to our destiny to meet our maker. And it's nice, since time is moving so rapidly, to have the entertainment and invigoration, inspiration of natural time, where the days take on totemic teachings and signs and symbols, indications, augury. They give us a depth of experience. They are emotionally resonant. They feel like company, visitation. And it's also an identifiable journey as we roll through our wave spells. So let us start with situating in the wave spell of the Zolk'in, the 13-day wave spell, that we are on day 11. And the wave spell is White Dog. White Dog is a treasure. It is about loving. It's about love. It's about love. And I think that love, philosophically, is also about all the other tribes. Our heart and love can exist on a yellow warrior day because maybe we're protecting our heart defensively in our fiery fortitude. And in white world bridger, when we experience the energy of death, maybe it is heart stoppage for a moment and recognizing that there is still an energetic chain in the afterlife to love, expansiveness, and so on. Like, I could drill through all the 19 other tribes and prove my theory, but I think what's nice about White Dog is it just brings it home to childlike simplicity. It lets us be childlike or devolved to a more basic mammalian experience. Where we don't have, you know, overconsumption of thoughts and aggregates of, you know, everything we need to own, but instead we're just living more purely animalistically. And one of the assets there is to feel that we have fierce loyalty, dedication, devotion, that we put ourselves in abeyance to something greater, that we understand the order of love, you know, the alpha, beta, and so on. That we run in groups, in companionship, in a pack, that we find the others in our tribe or consortium in this time, and that we really just don't have blockades or resistance to owning and admitting who and how we love. It's a huge celebration, and I mean this within the Zolk'in, that we sort of earn it. I've mentioned that in recent podcasts, that there are wave spells and tribes that embody the time we pass through in the front end of the Zolk'in that are sort of designed to lead us through burning ruins of aspects of self that we need to jettison, things that are on fire to eliminate walls, blockages, and also just like whole entities of self-perception or perception of the world that just gets disintegrated through this process of rolling through earlier wave spells. And then we're kind of left with this purity. That's the earning that we do, is that we make it through a paring away, stripping away of some kinds of excess, so that really our heart is free to expand in this moment of white dog. And then it's sad when it's over and it is coming to a conclusion. You know, this podcast is going to set you on the course of experiencing what it's like to let go of that treat of being really lodged in the heart and free to find out how our heart's health is doing. Now, I'm going to speak from, you know, having saddled myself with four dogs in the last 6 or 7 years, they stacked up. And so I live, you know, I'm outnumbered by dogs, and I spend much of my day doing what dogs like to do. And they kind of rule the roost. So when I get to white dog, I think that there is a kind of preciousness to seeing that the reward of living a dog's life with a lot of outdoor time, that means, and also a lot of resting in between stints outdoor, and that the emphasis is kind of on physical movement and freedom and roaming and being in the natural setting and smelling how it changes and chasing after things that are interesting. That when we get to white dog, the wave spell, I'm really acclimated. And I get to kind of do the humanistic version of reflecting on what it is to be a dog and be like, yeah, I freaking love so deeply. I have so much love in me. I don't know if that's your experience. I don't think mine is better than yours. I think mine is a little, like, again, childlike. It's a childlike version of having the white dog wave spell where I feel like a dog. But the other nuances you can have is just that you fell in love in this time, or you noticed, you know, that it's really painful to not be in love. You know, I've had those wave spells of white dog where it's a time of acute trauma, because you want to love like a dog and have that connection that's not obliterated by analysis or fear. It's just, it has to pulse outward, but there's no object, and that feels like a loss, grief. So then I think the white dog wave spell becomes about, you know, sitting with that discomfort and enduring it, so that for the white dog time, you are actively healing your heart, but you just might not have that reward of falling in love this time, this round. And I think that white dog can also, you know, in a positive sense, be a time that's just purely about finding out that you are a devotional person, that you love a godhead or a concept, that you are sort of in the pet role, the accessory role to something that is grand and visioning, does all the visioning for you, and you just receive it through your heart. And then what else could white dog be? White dog, what's another negative white dog experience? Yeah, any heartache at all, any sense of disconnection, betrayal, that someone betrayed you by not being in their heart. That hurts. It's going to end now. You know, when we get to the spectral day, the 11th day, the wave breaks, and the ascendancy of white dog ended yesterday in the highest peak, which happened to be blue planetary storm. I also said this in other podcasts, but I'll say it, since blue storm is where I'm born and what I carry as my tribe affiliation, that it's fascinating to me that the manifestation, the highest peak, what we will realize or produce out of this exercise of being in the white dog loving heart space. So if you just think of that as an iconography, like when you fall in love, when you devotionally love, when you are paired in love, or when you love, you know, like in the pack mentality of reverence, when love, whether it's, they call it agape, which is sort of non-romantic, or eros, which is erotic or romantic, any part of that loving union with something outside ourselves that makes our heart expand, that process in Mayan teaching brings us to a pinnacle that is transformation. That is the relief of pressure. That is the pathway back to pure light, because those are what Blue Storm represent. Blue Storm is transformation. It's a time of charged, quick evolutionary change. Blue Storm is the relief of tension that has built up in the sky, you know, the obscuring overcast. All those water molecules explode because there's too many to be held gravitationally in the sky. They fall back to Earth. You know, that is a human feeling maybe of crying or orgasm or what have you, but it's the relief of tension. So that also is what love takes us to. And then love takes us to the mechanical, the machination that allows sun to return, you know, broad warming sun that gives us light, the source of all life, returns after the storm because of the storm, because the storm clears the sky. That's what a storm does. A storm doesn't cover the sky. That's a different meteorological moment. The storm clears the sky of the coverage of the interference between ourselves on Earth and the sun, the source. And so that's where love takes us, the kind of love described by White Dog. You know, I said that love exists in all the other tribes, i.e. all the other aspects of life experience. But when we're in White Dog, and it's more of the quintessential tale of that heart swell, emotional feeling of connectivity or longing, that journey takes us to this place of rapid transformation and return to light. So here we are. That's what yellow spectral sun is. It's the return to light. We made it. All the other kinds of tension that are built at the peak of the wave form are undone by the wave breaking and falling back to earth or sea level today, quickly, rapidly. Things are head over heels. There's a churning. You know, like if I had a bumper sticker, it would be like, are you falling or are you flying? I just love that. I guess it would be in the modern language, it would be a meme. We don't really have bumper stickers to the extent that we have memes. And then White Dog winds down tomorrow, this Thursday day that identified as, I think it's the 9th. Thursday the 9th. Of January is red crystal dragon, which is beautiful. You know, then we cooperate. The crystal energy is when the wave has settled after all this breaking, after all the like churned uproar of the crashing wave, things settle down. That's the crystal tone, the 12th tone of 13. And on the crystal day, we often gather and tell the story of what happened over the White Dog wave spell or the last couple of weeks. But it's very beautiful that this White Dog momentum settles into cooperation in the energy field of Red Dragon, which is divine maternal nurturance. You know, it's how we reach out to each other after we've had an experience of love, is from the matriarchal place of loving nurturance. I mean, it's been such a relief to be in this wave spell, even though we started the year called 2020 with all the implications in the American political landscape and the signs of further disarray at the hands of our current president, the blue electric hand man. Like, it's been really fulfilling to just feel love in my heart while going through more of the same bullshit that's been plaguing the culture and the whole planet as a result for these years. And I'll miss it. I'll miss it when I am not, like, brought into cooperative, matriarchal, goddess nurturance. Like, that's where we get to land on this January 9th, and this red crystal dragon is, you know, grab it while you can, because we're moving into, you know, we're moving out of this delight and back into kind of more regulated, non-heart-centered normalcy. We'll learn other things. But in any case, we have a red crystal dragon on the 9th, and then January 10th, I guess a Friday, is white cosmic wind. And it is the eve, then, of our next wave spell, which is blue night, and we'll start on Saturday. Blue magnetic night, leading us into a time of dreaming, like living awake, having our daily schedule while feeling like experiencing that we're dreaming. So that's really awesome as well. I'm going to have to see how it goes, because it's the future, natural time. We can't future tell, can't future trip. We can use our devotion to the calendars and our remembrance of earlier experiences to do that, to remember, like, oh, right, when there was a blue, when I was in a blue night wave spell, another time that I remember, it felt really dreamlike. Like, it was like living in a dream while waking. So then I tell you that that might be what it is. Sometimes, you know, dreams are nightmares. So it doesn't mean it's going to be bucolic and like just super fascinating. And then I flew, you know, it can be a cutaway from reality that's scary, but it doesn't have to be. We don't know, it's the future, but we're allowed to remember and have that human strength of remembrance that distinguishes us from a lot of animals and non-animals, that because we remember, we make choices about our actions so that we either do or don't repeat the past. But in natural time, there's no reason to understand the future, because the future, when it absorbs our present, when we arrive in it, is going to have all these figureheads that we describe, you know, the present time now. It's going to be, the future is going to be blue magnetic night. That's what we know. And that's exciting enough. Suddenly the future is exciting. You know, back at the beginning of the Zolk'in, I kept talking about the six wave spells that I don't find exciting. Like, I don't anticipate them. Like, I can't wait till we get to Red Skywalker, White World Bridger, Blue Storm, Yellow Human, Red Serpent, and White Mirror. I mean, I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. You know, rather I anticipate the future based on past experience as, okay, well, this is really the part where everything lights on fire and burns away what is not my karma, doesn't serve me or others anymore. Fun. But, you know, generally my sense when we're in this part of the Zolk'in, which is the, you know, leaning towards the sunset, is that we did a lot of the hard work and we get to kind of, not rest, but we get to become observers rather than activators, or to have things activated on us where, you know, or maybe more participant, and we are more seamlessly connected to what's transpiring rather than trying to find our place in what's transpiring that can be overwhelming to us. All right, so maybe that handles white dog, even though one wants to talk about white dog for a long, long time when one is in it. It's so reassuring to love, to love, to be love. And then we have the blue night following, and so in between we're making another pretty important transition out of the rhythmic moon. So tomorrow, January 9th, Thursday, is the last day. It's the day when we end in our heart chakra as a kind of nice penultimate moment in the white dog way spell and our heart chakra on Thursday. I love being able to figure out the Gregorian day. On Thursday, January 9th, we will say goodbye to the rhythmic moon, and in our sleep Thursday night, we take magic flight into the resonant moon. And sometimes I'll have like an interesting dream between the moons, or the first day of the moon is still sort of like the dream delivering the prophecy. Something will happen on the first day of the moon that's kind of the theme for the moon. So you can watch for those things Friday, Thursday night while you dream, Friday when the resonant moon begins. The resonant moon is the seventh moon of the year. It is the middle moon. Even though our year moves in the shape of a wave as well, it's a 13 moon wave spell, we can identify the middle moon, the seventh moon. So it's not the middle of, it's not like the highest point in the middle. We climb to a peak and then we ascend and then we descend in the same way. Not at all. You know that about the waves, that we ascend for 10 tones. We descend in one. And then we sort of recover from that excitement for another tone or two. So the middle is more like the middle of the journey, but it's also the middle of the solar year, because that is what we're celebrating. The Gregorian year is a solar year. It's counting Earth's rotation around the sun, 365 days or spins on the axis, making it look like the sun is moving through our sky when we're in fact spinning. But it's a 365-day year, and so is the 13 moon year. So we just start the count of our orbit from a different place in the solar system. So if the Earth is moving around the sun, and let's call it an orbital or an ellipsis, the natural time year always begins on July 26th, so that's going to be in a different cluster of, it's going to have a different view. Obviously, we don't move through a bunch of star systems directly, but we're going to have a different view of the stars and a kind of different astrological starting point than January 1st. And it's sizably different. It's almost half an orbit away. It's almost across the universe from the Gregorian year to start on July 26th. So right now, in the next couple of weeks, we're as far across the universe from our natural time year starting point, our 13 moon year starting point on July 26th, as we can be. The center point of the 13 moon year is after 2 weeks or 14 days of the resonant moon. So whatever, 17 days from now. Doesn't mean a lot. It's just kind of nice to remember that we're traveling through the solar system on this planet. We're on a journey. Whether we, in a New Age fashion, decide that life is a journey and get a meme or a bumper sticker to announce it, that we're journeyers, that we're travelers, we're willing to live adventurously and keep moving, keep on trucking. Well, regardless of whether we use that language or conceptualize it, the Earth is always taking us, the humans, on a journey. Yeah, this is the end of the rhythmic moon, and it has been a rhythmic moon to remember, and I feel emotional about leaving it, which is what I want to, you know, focus on for y'all. It's like, it's a very white dog sentiment that you can fall in love with time, that you can fall in love and following these cycles. I have fallen back in love with them. I do that more often than the white dog wave spell arises. The synchronicities stack up. I meet someone who's really interested in it, who it's an accidental occurrence. Like, oh, it's my realtor, wants to know all about the calendar. And then I feel touched and moved. I see it through beginner's eyes, or I talk about it through the beginner portal. Or sometimes, you know, it's because I've been at this for so long. It's 20 years. This is my 20-year anniversary in the next couple of moons. All of that engenders a devotional reverence. And I feel like the rhythmic moon that we've had plays into that sentiment, because it was really memorable for me. There are things that I could remember for a long time, especially if I took a note about what happened, involving rhythmic people You know, just again, that kind of synchronicity where you have like a strong fate with someone that has, you know, their tone be the timepiece. I think that, you know, this entrance into 2020 and how I spoke about it, you should listen to the podcast called Red Self-Existing Skywalker if you want to understand 2020 through the Mayan teachings, because it's a profound portal identifying this year as being seated in the birth energy of Barack Obama. And that, you know, that 2020, when we talk about it as a year, 2020, that's Barack Obama's banner year. You know, it couldn't be closer to him. It is him. He is the embodiment. And that just also stacks up with, you know, he's Mayan twins with Bill Clinton and John McCain. So these are just like the kind of old school luminaries, whether you like their politics or not. They were hardcore lifetime servicemen to the political stratum of the United States. So that's kind of like an anchor in something more stable than what's destabilized now. So that's part of what happened in the rhythmic moon, is me understanding that and feeling this little tiny bit of fortitude. And then, you know, you need fortitude because everything just backslid to more horrible bullshit. So that was cool about the rhythmic moon. And also I went through the holidays and immersed in the rhythmic teaching, and the holidays were not a nightmare. You know, there wasn't really anything too silly or stupid or really destabilizing about them, because I just kept reaching for where is the rhythm? What rhythm am I developing in this time that's going to sustain me for the year to come? And it was what I described, and maybe for you as well. It was ultimately the rhythm of the heart, because the white dog wave spell was half of the rhythmic moon. And prior to that, we had the red earth wave spell. So how can I organize myself or create a rhythm that'll carry me through this whole year? The answer is through the teaching of red earth and white dog. And they have a relationship as well, that the dog really lives to run along the red earth. It doesn't build, you know, buildings to step up higher, but stays close to the ground. So we've had a really strong nature run, all of us, as it were, in the rhythmic time. It's beautiful. The resonant moon is going to feel really psychic, and it's going to be seated in the blue night, dream time, followed by yellow warrior. And that's down the road. We don't have to have any thoughts about it right now so much, but it is, you know, the right fight. And I guess I'm not going to presage the resonant moon. The way you can prepare is doing the magic flight journey, paying attention to your dreams and waking and the first couple days of the moon, and see what you feel like is being set in motion for yourself. So, anything else that seems important as we close here? Well, I keep forgetting to mention one other sort of political thing. So, I'm pretty sure that Bernie Sanders is a yellow rhythmic star. Maybe he's a yellow crystal star. I don't have it right in front of me, but he's a yellow star. And then I know that Joe Biden is a white lunar world bridger. And, a portal. He's a portal. So what matters here is that White World Bridger and Red Skywalker are analogs. They support each other, red and white. And then Yellow Star and Red Skywalker are occult partners. They have a mystical relationship. So Joe Biden and Barack Obama were, you know, like tight, super tight, loving bromance there. Who knows what's happening now, but that was what they demonstrated in the Oval Office arena. So that holds up, that they're analogs, they have a supportive connection. And then what this is, I'm referring now again to 2020 being a red self-existing Skywalker year and a portal year. It's really supportive to Joe Biden, really supportive. Portal. That's a lot of portal, my mom would say. My mom, who studies these calendars. Well, that's a lot of portal when you have two portal people together. It's like a funhouse mirror, endless reflection. Things are a little out there. And Bernie Sanders, I'll tighten that down, you know, his tone and whether he's a portal, but it's an occult year for him, which is magic. So what's going to win? Is it going to be supportive, or is it going to be kind of that like mystical enchantment that we can't really describe? The occult energy is the hidden energy. You know, it comes through the back door or the window and mystifies us, and we can't ever kind of fully encapsulate its meaning, its significance. That's what I've been wanting to throw in there for a bit, so I did. Yeah, I do readings. It's the new Gregorian year. Would you like some 2020 pair of glasses on your life through the clairvoyant eye of Lisa Starr? Then go to resonanttruth.com. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in the Kesh.